podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
But not with your waveform and the defensive injuries you've got. I'd fancy him to give you some big problems Saturday.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello, everybody. My name's James. Welcome to another Planet FPL Clash of the Correspondents. And this week, ahead of game week 32, we're looking forward to the black and white derby. Those on YouTube can see they've both turned up with their scarves. First, in the first black and white corner, it's our Fulham correspondent, Dara Curran. How are you, Dara?
I'm very good. Thanks, James.
They simultaneously held their scarves up together. In the other black and white corner, it's our Newcastle correspondent, Simon Bibby. How are you, Si?
I'm all right, James. Yeah. Thanks.
Dara, last time we spoke was just before you went to Manchester United. You put on an absolutely brilliant display. Your first away win since the opening day at Everton. Problems looked like they were solved. Followed a great victory against Brighton. Little bit unlucky against Wolves. You destroyed my team in game week 29. And relapsed this week. Draw at Sheffield United in a game that easily could have been lost. Well beat by the looks of it at Nottingham Forest on Tuesday evening. Where are you, mate?
It's classic Fulham. It's just consistently inconsistent. Right? If we could actually string a run of games together, we might be a little... I mean, I think we're in a good position. We're safe. There's nothing really to worry about. We obviously want to kick on and get as high up the league as possible. But I think we actually smashed it last season. And to kind of replicate that again, it was going to be very difficult, especially losing Mitrovic. And we've had our woes and... starting to click a little bit, I think. But yeah, just losing focus towards the end of the season when there's not much to play for, potentially. But I mean, the contrast from home and away results is absolutely ridiculous. Like, it kind of almost makes the United win even better when you look at our results. Because yeah, that's the second away win all season when we picked up 11 points away from home. Drop points against silly teams where we shouldn't. Like, even if you look at the last couple of results, like beat Brighton, beat Spurs, beat United, lost to Forest, nearly lost to Sheffield United, just picked up a point.
You didn't just beat Brighton and Tottenham, you beat them both 3-0, mate.
And lost to Wolves. So 1 point against Wolves, Brighton and Forest, you'd think it was the other way around if you said those six games, where you're going to pick up the points.
It's home for away, isn't it?
Very unpredictable.
11 points on the road, one away win since the opening day of the season. So only 8 points on the road since the opening day. Yeah, at home, 28 points from 15 play, just under 2 points per game. That's better than Brighton, West Ham, Manchester United, Wolves, Bournemouth, Chelsea, better than all of them. It's not better than Newcastle, man. We'll come on to them in a minute. Are you the epitome now of the Jekyll and Hyde home and away team?
It's the way it's looking, Mike. I mean, defensively, we're pretty solid at home. I think only the top three, Liverpool, Arsenal and City, have better defensive records at home than us. I don't know whether that says something, but away from home, like, you can't be conceding three to Sheffield United. Like, that's no disrespect to Sheffield United, because they've not scored many goals this season and we've just gone and made them look ridiculously good. The same for Forest. Like, they just cut through us like butter. It's just...
why?
I don't know.
Why then? Is it something to be said about the type of opponent? Because one of your rare disappointing home games this season was against Burnley. So is it something to be said about the opponent now? As in the type of opponent?
I think I've probably touched on it before, but I do think that we're better counter-attacking teams, and when other teams look to attack us rather than us having to dictate the pace of the play and go at teams, because we struggle to break them down. And when games are a little bit more open, it kind of suits us a bit better. We just look to be sucker punched a couple of times, like especially the Sheffield United game. We gave the ball away so in stupid positions where we were complete, like every single goal, we were looking to attack. The wing backs, Robinson and Castagna, were way up the pitch, out of position. We've given the ball away and we're just caught out. Fair enough, their second goal, Sheffield United took a quick free kick really cleverly, and yeah, fair enough, they got good goal. But the other two were just like shooting ourselves in the foot a lot of the times. It's just switching off.
And my team, when we lost at yours in 29, I know eventually by the end we ended up with a decent XG, but you were already comfortably 3-0 up by that point. Never thought we were going to score against you. Like that's full, and you're the only team who stopped my team from scoring this year.
Yeah.
You're right, 15 home goals conceded this season is only bettered by the top three. Sire, your team, are you also a home and away team? 33 points at home is the fifth best record in the league. Away points, same as Fulham, 11.
I'd say we're not even a home and away team. We're a game-to-game team at the moment in terms of form. It seems like we get one good result and like Europe's back on, and then followed by a disappointing one, and then it's all kind of already thinking ahead to the summer transfer window next season, and then another good result, and then like we're, you know, the old Chorley Nation's back on it. And yeah, so if that pattern persists, then maybe we might get a decent result this weekend against Fulham.
You have already won at Fulham this season.
We have, yeah.
Is there anything in that?
I was just looking at the team, actually. It's not, well, I'd say it's not massively dissimilar to the team that we're probably going to put out this weekend, to be honest. It was the game, I think Joel Linton got injured in that game, went off for half an hour with a 2-week injury that turned into a season ender.
You're not getting injured at Sunderland?
Re-injured it.
He re-injured it, okay.
Yeah, which is another actual story about injuries and re-injuries and from our season, I suppose. But yeah, definitely away from home, we've won three games, and at home we've only lost three games. So yeah, you could put us in that category this season for sure.
Just wondered, though, did they catch you at a kind of opportune moment as you were just off the back of the semi-final with Liverpool? We're obviously referring to the FA Cup fourth-round game.
Yeah, I think probably the focus would have been on that Liverpool game. I can't remember how quick the turnaround was between those games, but
Wednesday and Saturday night.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure we still would have had a little bit of focus on that game because, again, we were kind of just languishing around about 13th.
You were also, the stadium wasn't full, was there? Because there was a bit of a protest.
There was a protest,
that's
right. Yeah, there was a protest for that one. I mean, it wasn't by design. It wasn't an official protest. It was just people just went, nah, I'm not paying that. Nah, fuck that, I'm out. Like, people just got pissed off. And it was probably the opportune moment to actually have a protest, because a lot of times the season ticket holders, they're not affected by it for the most part. And when it comes to the cup competitions, then it does actually affect more people. And then they go, oh, yeah, no, this is a lot of money. So probably should have done a little bit more. I think like there's so many clubs at the moment who are having the same issue. You see Man City fans, I don't know how many of them there are, but they're complaining. We've got Spurs fans complaining. yeah, we've got all sorts. So it seems to be the direction that a lot of clubs are going, getting rid of the hardcore long-term supporters that have been there through thick and thin and replacing them with tourists.
It's a theme. Every time you've been on this season, Dara, it's become a theme. We've ended up talking about ticket prices at Fulham.
I mean, it's obviously we do so well at home.
Raven Cottage, I saw. Was that real? Was that an April Fool's thing? I can't remember when I saw that. It was like part of your refurbished stand's going to be like a swimming
pool.
Oh,
that's been there from day one. Yeah, that's in there.
Dara's on
I
the
mean,
waiting
it's obviously,
list for it.
Obviously, our home form must be down to all these amazing fans that are paying £4,000 a ticket to go and see Fulham play and cheer them on. That's the correlation you've got to pull there.
So there's definitely something in it, though. I mean, with a club like yours and the size of St James's, we would expect way more of probably a home away imbalance. But we wouldn't expect you to only have 11 points. And admittedly, you've played two less away games than Fulham. But less than a point per game away from home for Newcastle is pretty shocking, mate.
Yeah, it's not great.
So what's the solution? Because I'd sit here right now and look at the two teams' form, home and away, and go, will Fulham will win at the weekend?
I would have to go back and have a look at when those away games came, but it feels like after Champions League games, I don't remember us having too many home ties, and just generally like our cup fixtures, including Fulham away, have just been like an absolute monster this season. So I think that combined with like the injuries, it's easy to like label it because of the injuries, but there's just been like a bit of a drop off, I think, in all departments across the club all season. So I wouldn't have expected it after what we managed to produce last season, just not quite being able to get up to those levels again in the way that we play as a team and how style. I think it, you know, if you're not completely on it and you haven't got that time to really game plan, like for a week at a time, like we did last season, I think, you know, that's, it's kind of natural, a bit of a drop off, but yeah, definitely not where we want to be in terms of our waveform this season.
Are the fans angry about the injuries, or is it just mitigating? It's unlucky. That's what it is. Or is there something more to it?
No, I'd say that they're definitely starting to ask questions. I think there are questions to, I'm sure the board are asking them as well. And we were talking just before we started recording about a story that's going to come out in The Athletic this Friday about Howe and his injury record since he started at Bournemouth and how it's continued into Newcastle as well. And it's a pretty similar level of games missed. And so I think there is something in that. And he's talked a lot about, you know, his style of play and the way that the team's ethos is and everything else. But there's got to be more than that. I mean, we've always historically had terrible injury records, but previously it's been training ground, pitches and things like that. And that shouldn't be an issue now. I know that the current owners have invested in that side. There's more to come on that front. But yeah, definitely, I think questions are being asked and will continue to be asked about how and his team's training methods. And we see a similar thing next season. I think, you know, that could actually spell, like, potentially, you know, the thing that finishes his reign as Newcastle manager.
Did you largely escape injuries last season? It feels like you did from memory, but I'm not sure if I've got that right.
Yeah, I guess you could say there's two sides of the coin, right? If we were lucky last season, you could say that we were unlucky this season. But I think it's a gradual thing. And, you know, every time that I come on here, we talk about the fatigue factor and when that was going to catch up with us. And I think, you know, when we were having previous conversations, it was around like potentially drop off in performances, but never thought it would be, you know, this level of like injury crisis that we've had this season. Some of it's been unlucky, like Pope diving and doing is dislocating his shoulder, and some of the other injuries you can't really account for have been like contact injuries and things like that. But it's more the way the players have been managed and been brought back. There's definitely a feeling like players have been brought back too early. Players have been commenting about the fact that they, you know, were kind of given a choice themselves. And, you know, there is, I think, a bit of a mentality issue with the club in terms of, like, you know, do everything you can for the badge. It's a bit old fashioned in a way. You know, if you think you're fit enough and you can put your boots on, get out there and try and do it for the team. And I think that just, there's a snowball effect when you get so many injuries that we've had and you've got 11 players out that you feel like, you know, you need to be out there and helping the team. And the fact that Eddie Howe definitely doesn't trust like his third string team. We don't, you know, for good reason. We saw it with Paul Dummett, who's now basically a PE teacher, coming on and giving away the against Everton. And, you know, there's reason why I guess he doesn't trust those players. But there's so many factors. I could talk for ages about the injuries. It's a bit boring, but here we are.
Is there anything to be said for the pitch at St James's? I'd tell you why I say that, if I can just jump in. You've obviously mentioned about Pope. Pope did his diving, right? You've had very recently Lascelles, ACL, on the pitch. You had Livramento do his ankle on the pitch. I'm thinking earlier in the season as well, Tyrone Mings, ACL, Rico Henry, ACL, all at St James's. Could there be anything in that?
Interesting. I mean, potentially. It's if you ever been pitch side at St James's Park, you'll notice the slope is something else. And whether that has an impact on angles, the weather is obviously cold up there. We've got undersoil heating and the pitch looks good. So I don't know, potentially. It's not really my area of expertise, to be honest, but it's interesting you pointed it out. Those kind of like knee joint injuries are all seem to be,
well, those ones I mentioned all are, and are three of them ACLs.
Yeah.
I don't know if Botman's original injury was at St James's, I can't recall, but I think the final problem was at the Etihad, wasn't it? I think.
Yeah, I can't remember when he originally got it, but I remember him being carried off from the field. I've got a feeling that might have been at St James Park as well, actually. Potentially. It's interesting. It's worth looking at. It's definitely something you'd think the club overall above Eddie Howe will be taking into consideration when they look at the end of season review, trying to come up with solutions. But yeah, if it continues into next season, it might be a case of, you know, we all kind of roots lead to Eddie Howe and his the way he sets the team up, the way that he wants them to train and play in twice a week. And he might not just be suited to the kind of this level of football, putting a team out every 3 or 4 days, potentially.
Has there been any form of turn amongst the fan base?
Any what, sorry?
Any form of turn amongst the fan base towards wanting to change a manager?
Yeah, if you listen to the Newcastle chat that I'm in on Twitter, there's definitely a couple of guys. Shout out to Danny Snow, who's had a bit of a campaign against Howe for quite a while. Not just Howe, Dubravka as well. If it was up to him, he would have had half the squad fired off into the sun, I think, by now. There's definitely, I think, a bit of a split. I think the fan base is just frustrated more than anything else. Part of that's born out of how good last season was. You know, like you're going to get highs and lows, and it's never like a linear journey to get to where we want to get to. But last season was so good that, and this season to an extent, it's been kind of, you know, there's been highlights, definitely like highlights, very memorable games and results splattered amongst a lot of disappointment and frustration. I think West Ham 3-1 down, even like I was like looking for something to stab. It was that stressful and frustrating. And then even that game, like in the space of 25 minutes, complete turnaround, and our season turnaround as well. And then Everton's kind of, you know, a bit of a low again.
It's interesting, Dara, when I look through on FPL website, do you know how many flagged players you've got at the moment?
Three, two, four.
None. It's not a single
player. Oh, full of players.
Yeah, full of, there's not a single player flagged at the moment. I know you have had some injury issues.
Is Diop not flagged, or is he just...
Not currently at time recording on Wednesday afternoon. We are pre-recording this, everyone. At this moment, no.
Yeah, I thought he had a knock, but maybe that's since been right. Yeah, he could just be not be making the squad.
Whereas for you, Si, Pope, Trippier, Botman, Lascelles, Livramento, Target, Almiron, Miley, Joel Linton, Tonali, Wilson, changes page to page two. No one on page two, interestingly, with a flag at the moment.
Just the full first 11 then, pretty much.
I mean, to be fair, you're not actually exaggerating when you say you could put a decent 11 together from all that. Who are we expecting back soon? What's the situation with Trips at the time of recording?
There was a local journalist tweeted at halftime the Everton game that apparently it's another couple of weeks for him. The speculation was wild yesterday on which players were going to, like, out for the season. You know, there's so many people around just trying to get some clout for teasing the fact that someone's got a season ending in injury, and then, you know, it has to be like even the Pope thing. I think you mentioned it on one of your streams that there was a rumor, and it was pure just like speculation rumor, that Pope was out for the season. But because of the whole hysteria around injuries, I'd say who's going to come back soon in terms of FPL. I think it's advantage to game week 35 wildcarders, bench boost 37. I think Trippier, we'll know about Trippier. I think Hall's been impressive. I think it was just fatigue. The reason he came off and he's not been playing a lot. And I think, like, you know, Dan Burn as well has been is potentially interesting. But for me, I'm not touching that defense until Pope comes back. And hopefully he will come back around game week 35, I think, is the thinking.
That would be some timing. You got Pope and Trips back for that. I'm looking at 33 again. Yeah, anything after 33 is fine for me because that's when my team obviously visits. Is that all we're expecting back? Pope, Trips, Callum Wilson got a chance before the end of the season?
I think he'll come back. I think he might be, there might be a few that you are like just kind of appear in training and are on a team sheet that you wouldn't expect. I mean, his injury was a pectoral one, which he, again, just how random it is that he did wrestling a defender in like the 90th minute of a game. So bizarre, but you'd think that's the sort of injury like you can, you know, keep your match fitness to a certain extent. I don't know the extent of it. He might have half ripped his arm off. No.
If you're running like that. Sorry, this is really bad for the audio, but you run with your arms, don't you? So yeah. I don't know how much running can you do.
I did it. I actually tore mine. I tore a muscle in on the back of my shoulder and went all the way through into the pec. I'll tell you, it's really sore. It took me a long time to recover.
Is it okay to say you ripped your tit, Dara? Is that okay?
I did. That's fine. We can phrase it that way.
Okay, so maybe Wilson's, he's done. I think career over. We'll do a testimonial.
Yeah.
He's either getting a testimonial or we're selling into Fulham in the summer. That's probably where it'll end up.
Well,
I don't really know, to be honest. Joe Linton, no chance. A thigh injury, keeping someone out for the length of time is pretty bizarre. I'd say Pope, Trippier, Livramento will potentially come back. Fuck, who else is there? Miley isn't as bad as people think, but I think, to be honest, if there's any doubt, it will probably just like let him recover.
Almiron,
Miggy, not well.
Is it a favourite anyway, isn't it?
It's a bit too early. So the thing with Newcastle injury news is the first reports are always it's not that bad. It's a week or two, and then about a week or two later, you get that he's out for 6 months. So he'll probably miss the rest of the season. He'll probably be injured for the whole summer, so he can't be sold to Saudi.
Our Patreon community has decided that Newcastle have the worst ITKs going around. We had this one with 100%. Gordon, didn't we? Gordon, after the Chelsea game, it was rumoured he's out for the rest of the year, never mind the season. And then he played on Saturday.
Yeah, I sold him. I sold him based on that. We're absolutely horrendous. And we fall for it. And you know all these ITKs, they're just in it for the likes and engagement. And our fan base is like the worst. I'm as susceptible as anyone else. Like, as soon as I see something, I'll follow that person and I'll chat about it. And yeah, we're horrifically bad for it. And bless the actual proper journalists up in the Northeast. They spend half their time just answering like questions about rumours that have been swirling around.
One rumour we won't start up is Callum Wilson to Fulham, Dara, because you don't need a forward anymore, do you?
Probably not. I mean, the Mitrovic money came in so late that it actually didn't count in that financial year. So that was probably something that we were going to have to address this summer. But now it's looking like we can spend some money elsewhere on the squad, which is quite nice. It's nice to not have a problem.
We're obviously talking about Rodrigo Muniz, who I said to you when I went to the League Cup game in August, that was the first time I'd seen him. And I was I was at pitch
level. He was lively
level,
in that
and
game.
I was, yeah, the sound about him, his link play was good, his hold up was good. He wanted to get his shots away. And that was the first time I saw him. I was like, yeah, something there. And we said, keep an eye on him. He got his start against Man United and obviously got injured. And then obviously he's come back and he's had this chance now, just in time, because otherwise Breuer was obviously going to start getting minutes. Is he just one of these that you get every couple of years, is just a forward who just has a mad one-off run at the end of the season? Or is he a very good player?
I don't know. I really hope it's the former. I think a lot of fans had probably given up any hope of him doing anything, but I guess he is still really, really young. What is he, 20? Is he? He's like,
I'd have to
ridiculously
check it,
young.
He's got to be young, yeah.
Because we bought him a couple of seasons ago, and like it's weird that he got loaned, because Borough were trying to sign him the same time we were trying to sign him. We spent 8 million on him. So like obviously there's somebody saw something at the time to spend that money on a teenager. But he went to Borough on loan and he couldn't even get a game.
He'll be 23 next month.
So he's 22. Yeah, fine.
But still young.
Yeah, I don't know. Like there's something that's he's been working on something, or he's like taking performance enhancing drugs or something. I don't know what's going on, because like the change from what
Planet FPL is not associated with these accusations.
Purely speculation, obviously. But I mean, from the little bits and bobs that he's come on in appearances the last 15, 20 minutes of games, not looking like much of anything to just this form that he's got. And it's not just like scoring goals. He's getting in the right places and his hold up play, as you say, and like bringing other people into the game. And he's doing a little bit of what Mitrovic does, but he also has the pace as well. Like he's got it. There's potential for him maybe more. Like if he scores another 3 goals, he matches what Mitrovic did last season, which is mental.
Is that right? He's only 3 goals off Mitrovic's total from last season.
He's on eight. What did Mitrovic get last season? Was it 11 or 12?
Mate.
Something like that.
He's got more than that, Mitrovic, didn't he? Sure. Not sort of high 16, 17
season,
or something.
Season before, maybe.
But to do it in half a season is mad.
I mean, yeah, he's on an incredible streak. Obviously, blanked at Forest on Tuesday night, but that blank's obviously going to come eventually. Yeah, he's on a super streak. I bought him in FPL prior to the week. Wasn't really anything for me to debate at the value, unless I wanted to go for Chris Wood instead, who obviously scored, but that's the way it goes. I mean, I was quite happy to have that. And one of the reasons I was quite happy to have it is because I know that your team's going there on Saturday, Si. And it's just defensively broken.
He's definitely scoring.
I'm not even being critical, but you on paper, you've got Newcastle, but not with your waveform and the defensive injuries you've got. I'd fancy him to give you some big problems Saturday.
It's not even that. It's just that even with our, well, apart from Joe Linton, our midfield, and like we just can't. We're so easy to play against, and the blueprint's there that if any team like is serious about winning a game of football, there are definite levers you can pull to beat us. And I think every time I come on here, I think the centre, I always prop up the centre forward who we're playing against to score, and they inevitably do. And I'm definitely, it's almost nailed on. He's definitely scoring. I just think from what I've seen of him, he's the sort of player that our central defenders and midfielders are going to struggle to keep hold of.
Can I ask you a hypothetical FPL question, Si? If I said to you, start one of Muniz or Anthony Gordon this weekend, who would you start out of the two?
I'd start Muniz.
Over Gordon, yeah?
Yeah. I think just for going back to the home and away thing as well, if it was obviously St James's Park, I would probably lead the other way. But I'd start Muniz, yeah, for sure.
Fair. Dara, did you get him in?
No, I haven't. I'm still toying with the idea. I'm not sure if I will.
Let the rest of us enjoy it.
I think ordinarily I would have gone, but just with all the double game weeks and other forwards that are actually kind of doing well, is also it's given me a bit of a dilemma. So I'm not sure where to go with it. I don't have free hit left, so that kind of just limits me a little bit. So I think it's situational. Ordinarily, I probably would have gone there, but I need to plan a little bit ahead.
Yeah, mine was let's get him in for 3 weeks. The form's too good. What I overlooked, obviously, is that two of those three games were away from home for you. But I should be confident about this weekend, I think. So, just interestingly, what sort of strategy are you on at the moment, chip-wise? Do you know?
I'm on a... Can't decide when to play my wild card. Either wait until I need Man City players, because I have none, or it'll be 35. I've got a free hit left, so it'll be free hit 34 regardless. Probably wild card 35 and then bench boost 37. You're just too convincing, James, when you talk about your own chip strategy. I can't see any other path for me apart from potentially 3.
I think those who ignore me tend to do quite well, actually, to be honest. I take it though, Dara, are you just ignoring Fulham at the moment?
Yeah, for now. I think I'm just going to dead end into 34, wildcard 35, and then bench boost 37. So I'll probably ignore both. I don't really see, because there's no doubles there, unless like you're really looking for an enabler or something, then I don't really see the point.
So I got Muniz in for the 3 games. What I'm also considering is that I haven't got the bench boost. So I'll be on that same strategy, wildcard 35, but don't need to worry about bench using the bench boost 37. So looking at you playing Man City doesn't feel quite so ugly if I want to go for a Muniz or a Leno or something else, because your other 3 fixtures, a Palace at home, Brentford away, and Luton away, it's perfectly reasonable. And obviously everyone who bench boosts is just going to completely overlook it, aren't they?
Probably will do. I mean, if you look at all the relegation fodder that we've been losing and drawing to lately, then who knows what kind of results those could be.
Bring on a big club like Newcastle at the weekend. So I take it you wouldn't be looking at Fulham assets at the moment.
No, I haven't. You know, after that ESAC West Ham performance, I couldn't help myself. I had to dip back in for, I think, the 5th time this season I've owned him. I had to, couldn't help it. So, it's been quite nice actually, just looking at teams that I don't have to obsess over 34. But yeah, it's just not quite landed. And I've not got Haaland, I've got too much money. I think that, I don't know, that's kind of almost weirdly put me off. Not weirdly, I think it's a psychological thing.
Yeah, it is.
It's just too cheap. He's too cheap. So I've my front three is Tony. I've got Nunes back in, Darwin for again, like maybe the 3rd or 4th time. Tony and Isaac. So no space for me there.
What would you say to someone who's come out of 29 for whatever reason with treble Fulham, for example, sitting there with Leno, Robinson, Munez, and out of chips? What's the advice here? Is it the fixtures are okay enough that if you can bench against Liverpool in 34 and City 37, you carry on, or have they got to go really?
I think I'd be looking to shift Leno on of the three. That would be my priority because obviously I mean, people are kind of looking at the Chelsea keeper or an Onana or somebody who doubles somewhere down the line. So I'd try to get somebody else in there. Oh, it depends on like the other two are so cheap that it probably doesn't really matter. Like our home, I think we're only behind Newcastle for home clean sheets this season. So there might be an opportunity for another clean sheet there if you kept a defender.
So, what would you rather buy for the rest of the season, Anthony Robinson or Dan Burn?
I mean, Dan Burn's definitely scoring against us. He loves the goal.
Well, Dan Burn scored twice against you already this
Yeah, he
season.
loves it. Loves
He
it.
is, yeah. He
Wow.
scored. He scored in both wins, and he had one just ruled offside against Everton. And since actually, I mean, he actually played very well against Everton. Moving to centre back, he's a centre back. He's going to play there. He has to play there. Got no other choice. So I would def I'll stick to my don't sign a Newcastle defender until Pope's back. And that probably includes Trippier as well, potentially. If it's within a week, you might want to gamble on him. I wouldn't touch hard defence at the moment, even if you had the choice.
So if you were wild card in now, you'd ignore the defence completely. You'd just go Isak, would you?
Forward. No,
Gordon.
I would go Isak, Gordon, and Barnes
Okay.
because that would bring joy to my life. I was chatting to the lads in the chat earlier, and I think they've played maybe a combined less than two full games together this season, and that's our like best front three players, irrespective of whether that's the best fit for front three. And I need to see it. I
You know
need
what
it.
you know what the problem is, though, Si? I think the problem
What's
is
that?
for the teams that double in 37, when you start talking about treble ups, everyone wants to go three attacking players. That's the problem. So then you go, well, I don't want double of anyone else. So it's like I'll have one Newcastle, one Tottenham, one
I'll take care, mate.
Chelsea.
If those three are fit, I'm having all of them for a little run. Or like next season, potentially. Like they're going to be, well, Barnes will definitely be cheap because of the minutes he's played. But
If you had to buy Barnes or Gordon now, where would you go?
oh, you still get Gordon, I
Okay.
think. You're not Barnes isn't he's just played 90 minutes, and there's even a question, I think, of whether he starts. I don't think he will personally. I think he'll come off the bench against Fulham. I think he'll keep playing Murphy, even though Hal knows Murphy's pretty shit. He's just fit, and you saw against Everton, we don't have the legs off the bench. So no, I'd still go Gordon. I think Barnes, potentially given the opportunity, might do better than Gordon away from home in some of our remaining fixtures. But consistency wise, as long as he gets through the next two games without picking up that 2 game suspension, I'd definitely go Gordon still.
Are you expecting at some point Gordon to go to the right to enable Barnes to play on the left?
I don't know if I'm expecting it, James, but I need it. I need it in my life. I need to see our three best attacking players on the same fucking football pitch for more than 10 minutes this season, or else, I don't know, I might just give up on football. It's been that stressful a season, and we just haven't seen it. I think Gordon can play on the right, and I actually think for Isak, it's potentially a good thing. You'll get less of the constant like cutting in and shooting and being at the back post for crosses that Gordon has, to be fair, like executed very well and consistently this season. Definitely, like, yeah, Miggy's injured now. Murphy just is, I don't know, I'd rather play him right back, and he might have to play right back the way that things are going, than disrupt that. They're our three best players when everyone's fit anyway. We just need to try and get them out on the pitch and see how it works. And I think even for Gordon, like, potentially from an England perspective, I know he's going to go there if he goes as the backup or a left winger, but just having that versatility as well, I think, is something else for him. Like, he's kind of proven it at international youth level. He can play third striker or be third string striker in that squad as well. So I think he'd be quite motivated to show that he can play out there as well for the remainder of the season.
Yeah, I think he certainly staked his claim as well. He did fine for England during the internationals as
Did,
well.
yeah.
If you had to buy a defensive one, Si, now, so we rule trips out of that conversation. Which one?
Newcastle.
Yeah.
Dan Burn, I'd go for. I Shaw, he looked like, I didn't think he was going to make it through West Ham game. He looked like, I don't know if he was doing his like fake injury thing, but he was clutching that hamstring like he was about to fall off about five times. I wouldn't be surprised the way our injuries are going with these little runs of consistent games every 3 days if something happens there with him. I think it's got to be Dan Burn, to be honest. He's moved to centre back. He looks better there. I think he's still a threat on set pieces, almost scored. He's already banged two against Fulham this season, and he's definitely scoring again this weekend. And he's going to play. Even if we got all our players back, Howe just absolutely loves the man. So he'd move back to left back. That's the case. So at the moment, I think he's probably the only choice. I'm personally like potentially interested in the Hall, but I'm going to wait until 35 and see what the situation is.
Yeah, I suppose if he does well over the next few, and it looks like he's going to stay at left back at 4.2, that becomes interesting, right?
That was interesting. I'm not going to have much space if I've got Gordon, Isaac, and Barnes in my wildcard squad. So
I
I'm quite
know
going
that
to make that work, am I?
if Barnes is locking down a place in the team, that's the three that you'll go for, unless you've got fear over Wilson nicking some of Isaac's minutes at the end. But I think by that point, you're only playing once a week till the Man United game in 37, so you should be all right.
Yeah, I think the gaps once we get through this one aren't too bad. So I'd expect our best 11 to be playing in starting every game. The challenge we've got, as you saw with Everton, is end of game, who we've got to bring off the bench. That's going to be a factor this weekend, I think. I just think some squad's better than ours at the moment.
You also do have site brilliant fixtures left. Fulham, Tottenham, Palace, Sheffield United, Burnley, Brighton, Brentford, with obviously the Man United game to go in there, is
Yep.
probably the best of what's left. Is there any target left on this season? Do you feel like have you got to qualify for the Europa? Is fifth still reachable for you? Is there any target at this stage?
It just changes game to game, like depending on results. After the West Ham game, obviously we're in, they're our rivals for one of those European spots. Felt like, we'd really kind of got momentum going into the Everton game. Dropped 2 points, but then West Ham could only get a point against your lot. So we're kind of like, as it were, really
Only.
for that. It changes week to week, mate. But I think Europe is like any European football going into next season. I think is it might turn out to be almost essential if we actually do want to keep hold of Bruno. I don't think Isak is going to get sold this summer, and I think he's even come out today and said he's happy to be in. I think that's genuine. I think he is happy to be in. I don't think the club will sell him. We'd be mad to be honest. I think everyone else in the squad, even Gordon, from my perspective, is, you have conversations with teams about if we do need to raise capital, but not Isak. I think he's the one untouchable one in the squad.
Dara, is there any target for Fulham from here? I mean, if you'd want taken 5 points at Sheffield United and Forest, you'd be level with Newcastle, joint eighth.
Yeah, I think we probably flirted with the idea of some sort of a European spot at various points, but we just haven't been able to put a run of fixtures together and actually kind of throw ourselves in the mix properly. It's just kind of dangling that carrot, and one good performance that takes us closer, and then one poor one that just takes us out of it again. So I think realistically, it's probably done. That last couple of games has just ended any kind of hopes of that.
Okay, keep playing well at home, won't you? Have you
Yeah,
got
just
any?
finish ahead of Chelsea is probably the aim now, isn't it?
Well, you should. Surely you finish above Brentford this time, surely.
I know we could relegate them, but I think we've got them close to the end, haven't we? Second last game.
Match week 36, yeah.
We've got Luton in as well on the one. Is it Luton on the last day?
Yes, you do go to Luton last day, and
That
I
could be an
guess.
interesting one. We might just have to let them win that one, just depending on
Yeah,
where
there could even be some Fulham 1 week punts on the final day. I can see Andy Martin buying Willian now, actually, come to think of
100%, he's all in. Yeah.
it. Any Newcastle you're looking at yourself, Dara, at the moment? Have you got or?
Isak's probably the one that I'm toying with. I've got Watkins still, but I'm just trying to figure out, do I go to Isak or do I find a small amount of money to bring Haaland back in now and then go Solanke to Isak in a couple of weeks' time? So I haven't made my mind up on that one.
So it means money stays off the table for you.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Sad. I'll have to try and enjoy them points myself.
I think like I'm playing five midfielders this week, so realistically he'd be benched if I did bring him in, and I've got so much money in the bank, like it's just he doesn't
Sure.
quite fit what
Surely
I've
you
got
play
at
him with
the
the
moment.
form he's in and Newcastle's defence if you did own him. In nearly
So
all
which one
cases.
which so which one
Go
of
on.
Foden, Salah, Son, Palmer and Saka am I benching?
Foden, Salah, Son, Palmer, Saka. Yeah, it's
Yeah.
probably problematic. Foden, who knows? By the time you guys hear this or watch this, you might feel like he's a rotation risk. I'd play Muniz over Foden, I think. Palace
Are we
away.
doing team advice? Can I get some of my team, please,
Yeah,
James?
sure. Why not? Go on, quickly.
Right.
I'll charge you,
So
though.
I saw you sell Maddison, which annoyed me because I still have him. And whenever
Same.
you come off Spurs assets, that's generally a good reason to do the same. So my midfield at the moment is Maddison, Son, Salah, Palmer, Bailey. And then up front, I've got Darwin, Tony, Isak.
You
So it's
asked
between.
me where to go.
I'm asking, I'm not, I don't want to make a transfer this week. So who to bench? So
Who
I'm
to bench?
leaning towards
Madison,
Maddison.
probably, yeah.
Yeah. He's not getting the
Probably.
minutes, is he?
It's just not in massive
I'm
form.
def I want to keep
I
him
think
for us because he always scores at St. James's Park or plays well. So
I think he scored one goal at home this season.
yeah. All right. Nice.
That's probably the one. I hope I'm wrong and I hope he goes off massively. I could do with the improvement. That's very much off topic anyway. You know what my wish is from this fixture at the weekend? Any
No
guesses?
injuries.
Bruno Guimarães' yellow card, Si, would be quite handy.
Not
He's
happening, mate. He's playing 4D chess. He's absolute savant. He's got through so many games. There was one tackle at Everton where he went in like two-footed, and it was so bad that it almost looked like he wasn't trying to tackle the player. And I was like, oh God. But apart from that, he's just been. I've never seen a transformation on what Eddie Howe's got on him. I don't know. He's going to release some dodgy pictures to the press or something. But for him to go 10 games without a yellow card after what he was doing at the start of the season and how pissed off he is in every game, having to play with like Sean Longstaff and the likes, like I'm surprised he's not just kicked in, to be honest, and got a yellow card for it.
Dara, your own yellow card magnet, the brilliant João Paulinho, has a job for me to.
He's on track for 15, isn't he?
He on 12, is he?
Yeah, he's on 12.
What is 15? Is it a 3-game ban?
I think so. I can't remember anyone getting.
And
Maybe
there's no
Jefferson
cut.
Lerma did it once. Maybe I can't remember.
There's no cut off on it. I know that. I think it is a
It must
3-game
be
ban. I
three.
think,
Yeah.
and I think you get called in as well, don't you? You have to go and see the bad teachers or something.
You know what? He does make a lot of tackles. And some of them are bad. And some of them, I think his name just kind of precedes him, and the refs just whip out a yellow card, and he just picks up stupid yellows. But yeah, he's probably definitely going to get another ban before the end of the season.
Do you expect him to stay now?
It's tough, I think. It doesn't look like Bayern will come back in for him. I don't know. That ship might have sailed. So unless somebody else comes sniffing around, then I don't know. I think we've probably got bigger issues. I think people will be looking at Robinson in the summer.
How much do you think you get for Palinia? We need to play like that, to be honest.
I mean, surely the same money that was touted, 50, 60 million, is probably going to
Yeah,
be.
not for us then.
Yeah.
Rich for us, I think.
I
So.
mean, he signed that new contract, so he's still on a really long contract.
Well, if Tottenham make that
Don't.
100 million pound bid for Isak that I saw reported in one red top newspaper, which you can all laugh at, then maybe you can go there, sir.
100 million. Had a few on. He's not going for less than Bruno. You don't. You that he's a generational striker. You're not. We're not selling him to another Premier League club for unless it's like an astronomical, stupid Premier League record, which I don't know if anyone's got that money floating around this summer. Like
All
he's not going for that. We'll sell Bruno
right.
probably close to the release clause that's in his contract. We'll sell him something
When
like that.
Nico
But not.
returns from holiday next week, I'll tell him to get that clip ready for the summer, mate. What's happening with the goalkeeper side? Is he good? Is he bad? I know a few people have said stick Karius
Dubs,
in.
it's fucking shocking. He's terrible. He's let so many. He can't. I mean, the The funniest one was when he let a goal in after 6 seconds playing for his national team. It was hilarious. But the thing about it is he can't. He's like me when I play in goal. For some reason, I can't dive to like my right hand side. I always struggle with it in five a side. And he's the same. But he's a professional goalie. If you like, this is why Son is 100% captainable against us. Is if you put it across his body into the bottom corner, he's not saving it. He's not getting anywhere near it. He doesn't come off his line. I don't know. Like, he's not the slowest goalkeeper. But I don't understand why he's not told to play a certain style. Like, he just refuses to come off his line, which has fucked up our entire defence and the way that we play. It's horrific, which is why I said I'm not touching our defence until Pope comes back. He's an absolute nightmare. He was good for us for a couple of seasons when we needed him to under, like, Rafa, when our defence was, like, sat on top of him. And, you know, at that point, he was a good shot stopper. But no, he's terrific. I don't expect him to come out of the team, though. Like, he's not going to. All these stories about Karius playing is stupid. Stupid rumours. It's not happening. Unless he, like, drops three clangers in a game, it's not happening. So Dubravka will be the keeper for the rest of the season until Pope comes back. And then, definitely, I think you will see an immediate improvement, I'd say, as soon as Pope comes back.
So, can I get some FPL advice off you?
If you want. That's what I'm here for.
Do I need a new goalkeeper?
Yeah, unless you like two-pointers. Who's your other keeper?
Areola. So, I'm stuck with Dubravka now, aren't I? And to be honest, the rest of my team looks all right this week. I've said this already this week. I genuinely might make a goalkeeper change this week.
Nah, do it. Yeah, it's if you got luxury transfer, just bin him off. Absolutely bin him off.
Might do. Thank you, gents. Correct score predictions, please. Dara first.
I think you could probably roll a dice on whatever numbers come up. That could be the scoreline this weekend. It could be like a FIFA scoreline. It could honestly be anything. I can't predict it.
Go on, guess numbers. Roll the dice.
2-2.
Sam?
I completely agree. Every game Newcastle have for the rest of the season could be absolutely anything. I'm going to go for... let's go for a 3-1 Newcastle win with Gordon, Isak and Barnes all scoring, but me only having Isak in my team this week.
I'm going to give you home advantage, Fulham. Dara, with Fulham, because your home record and your away record side plus the injuries. But can we, Dara, expect, before we finish, some changes, considering this very radical move that Marco Silva made at Forest? With a treble change after 33 minutes, Iwobi, Wilson and Lukic all taken off. Was it that bad?
Yeah, it was pretty horrific. There was no urgency, no pressing, just nothing. He came out and said after the game that if he could have made more than three subs, he would have made more than three subs. So I don't think they're the only three that could be in the firing line. Yeah, there could be quite a few changes. I think Harrison Reed might come into the middle. He hasn't featured for some time. Adama Traore has been kind of pushing for a start with some of his performances off the bench of late. Tete looked really rusty, so Castagna might come back in. Tosin's looked really shaky the last two games, although I don't know if we've got anybody to come in there unless Diop doesn't have a flag anymore. Yeah, there's all sorts. I don't know. It could be anything. I think he'd be looking for a response, so he might shake things up.
Yeah, I think there's that as well. One thing that did remain consistent when you look at that the other night is, again, no Breuer in the squad. And despite the fact you were 3-0 and then obviously later 3-1 down, Raul Jimenez not used. He kept Muniz on the pitch all throughout and never brought Jimenez on.
Yeah, I mean, he did come in against Sheffield United for... I think it was a centre back or someone. We played with one centre back against Sheffield United. Yeah, in that game, Muniz stayed on as well. So I think if anyone has Muniz, the minutes are going to remain constant unless he picks up an injury.
Is Muniz or Isak, are either of them captainable then? If you guys are both sitting here saying, yeah, do you know what, expect goals, and I kind of think similar. Are either of them two forwards captainable this week, Dara?
It's hard to look past Salah, isn't it? Like,
Till United.
Sorry, what am I talking about? That's this current week.
You got Sun at home to Forest. Palmer
got
at
Palmer.
United.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Haaland at
Palmer's
Palace.
Probably the one.
If you're on Watkins, you've got Brentford at home. I'll expect a couple of goals. Maybe not as many as our game, I think, potentially.
What I've mentioned is just the unpredictability. It's hard to, with any certainty, to say, yes, Muniz is the man. Like, if you're really looking to, like, try to project yourself up the rankings, then, yeah, roll the dice and go for it. But I don't know.
I'd say Muniz is more likely to score than Isak, but I'd expect them both to. I wouldn't expect them necessarily to double return, or if they did, it would probably more likely be Muniz, to be honest. I do expect points off them both. I think Isak actually might go on a Willock style run. He might just pick up points every game for the rest of the season. It's conceivable, more than conceivable, I think.
Yes. A man that's wanted, I think, by many in their teams going forward between now and the end of the season. Go on.
He did have a reported, apparently, through my own ITKs, have a late fitness test before Everton. And I think that's the risk of him. Is
your ITK as shit as the rest of the Newcastle ITK?
Pretty much, yeah. Well, this one said that they couldn't confirm who it was, and then we eventually managed to get it out of him. But Bruno had one as well, and then like a couple of, I think Trippier had one, and he failed it.
Let's be honest, right? If any Newcastle player at the moment who's good is anything above 60%, they're playing, aren't they?
Yeah. Unless it's Paul Dummett. Let's just bin him off.
You called him a PE teacher, not me. Thank you very much, gents. Thoroughly enjoyed. Dara, anything you want to plug before we finish?
No, nothing for me.
And for yourself, Si?
Sign up to Planet FPL Patreon. It's not too late. James has got some amazing spreadsheets.
I hope it's not too late. That would be worrying.
Amazing spreadsheets. Better than that other Geordie guy that does them.
Mr. Krellin's spreadsheets are better than mine, mate. Absolutely. Thank you both so much, gents. Clayton will be with me for the Game Week Review podcast. Next week, there are two Clash of the Correspondents for you ahead of Game Week 33. Brentford against Sheffield United with Tom Med and Ben Thompson. I think many of us might be looking at Brentford for 1 week, Game Week 33 punts ahead of that clash. And also Adam Pritchard and Lee Jackson be joining me next Thursday to preview Arsenal against Aston Villa as well. Just excuse me to say thanks very much to Dara and to Sai. Good luck this week, gents. Cue music, please. Man child.
Fantasy Football Show. Sports Social Podcast Network.